Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. Bruce Millington is taking a well-earned break this week, so it's Jack Reeve alongside Steve Palmer to guide you through what looks to be a busy week on the golfing scene. Strap yourselves in, plenty of tips coming your way. As always, enjoy the Sweet Spot. Remember to like on YouTube and leave a comment. We always love reading through the comments. There were some witty ones last week that I'm sure you saw, Steve. It was major week last week. Didn't go in our way in terms of the outright tips. Got a couple of specials up, but it was an entertaining one nonetheless.
You're right. I mean, Tony Finau's performance was a real shock. Xander Schauffele got off to a horror start and couldn't quite recover for the play. So, yeah, I'm not full of beans this week, Jack. But, yeah, the thing for me was how much I overestimated the New York crowd. Did you hear me last week banging on about how the New York crowd would have an impact? That was foolish because they had very little impact. I mean, Kupka in his press conference said there was a few comments here and there. But, you know, him in particular has got such steely focus, isn't he? It doesn't really matter what they say. And, yeah, the most likely of the live potential champions was the one that won. So yeah, a bit angry with myself, should have respected the livers a bit more. Yeah, much to discuss in terms of you know, the sort of future major total of Brooks Koepka.
Absolutely. Well, you know, let's start there. It was won by Brooks Koepka, the first live player to win a major. It takes him up to five, which is alongside the likes of Seve. So we have to be classing Brooks in that world's best, haven't we? I mean, it's a phenomenal record in the majors.
Well, there are only 14 players in history now that have won more majors than Brooks Koepka, and only one of those 14 is still remotely active. They have Phil Mickelson. How many more majors has Phil Mickelson got left him? So Koepka's got a great opportunity here to become one of the greatest of all time. You know, he's only just turned 33, seems to have got his health sorted now. You know, you mentioned Seve. Arnold Palmer is on seven. Tom Watson's on eight. So, you know, Koepka on five will be targeting Palmer and Watson and feeling like he can get there. And what an amazing turnaround this is, Jack, because if you watch the Netflix documentary, I guess you have.
If
you watch the Koepka episode now, you'd just be completely bemused, wouldn't
Remarkable,
you? Because how low was he? Like, he's depressed. He's saying he can't compete with the likes of Scottie Scheffler anymore. You know, just a morose player struggling for fitness and form. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's got his fitness back, he's got his form back, he's got his confidence back. And, you know, the old Brooks is there now, isn't he?
And there is something with Brooks where you just overlook him. I look back to Liv Orlando when he won there. I think he was about 50-1 before it started. And you go, it's a small field. One of the world's best players didn't touch him. Goes to the Masters, does well there, didn't touch him. Goes off this week, was he about 40-1? And again, weren't really, you know, didn't see many people talking about him and just got the job done. And it feels like now it's a nice setup for Brooks. He can concentrate on live, not too much going on. And then we know what he's like in majors and he's back to his best.
Yeah, he's emphatically back to his best. I mean, he went off 20-1 this week. I mean, we had to consider him if we had the live guys on our radar. But I just had this silly idea in my head that the New York crowd would be heinous towards them for reasons I won't go into. But got that wrong. But we move on. Two majors to go.
It's not often though. You look at the kind of newspapers on the following day, and really the story wasn't about Brooks Koepka. It was all about Michael Block, the club professional who made a hole-in-one on the 15th on the final day while playing with Rory. I just love that moment where it drops into the hole. And he said in his press afterwards, he said, I thought to myself, why is Rory hugging me? He wouldn't be hugging me if it just went close. It was a brilliant moment. And now he gets extended into this week's tournament as well, doesn't he? The Charles Schwab. So for him, a remarkable week.
Rory was brilliant with him, wasn't he? Rory was so gracious with him. And yeah, that was the highlight of the tournament by an absolute mile for me. I mean, the hole in one, it's sort of like a Kevin Costner tin cup kind of guy, wasn't he? You know, the people's champion.
Yeah.
You know, a great character. There's all sorts of videos emerging of him now as, you know, in his club pro role, you know, promoting his golf course and that. But yeah, his life's changed dramatically there. You know, he was charging $150 an hour, I think, for his lessons. Yeah, he's just won a juicy check and he's got an invite to Colonial this week. I think you said he was 400-1 for this week. I didn't even bother checking, to be honest.
Not on your list then.
I think the fairy tale will end this week. But beautiful, beautiful feel-good story, which we all really need these days.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve, absolutely. It was a really nice moment. Let's just have a quick word for Victor Hovland, who I know you were keen on for the top Scandinavian. There was a moment where I was thinking, oh no, I've backed him in that market and he's going to go on to win. But it does feel like he's edging ever closer to a major, Victor. We know the talent is there. It's undoubted. Just needs, I think, once he gets one over the line, they might start to roll in for Victor.
Yeah, you're right. I was really impressed with him for the, you know, his ball striking was excellent for a long way, wasn't it? He didn't show any fear early on. And then at the 16th hole was the big, you know, the big turning point, wasn't it? That shot from the fairway bunker effectively ended the tournament. And he was asked in his media conference after what club he hit, and he surprised me. He hit 9-iron. Iron. So, yeah, it must have been it's a terrible strike to not get a 9-iron over that lip. It all changed from there. But you forget how young he is. He's only 25, isn't he? If you put a gun to me and said, is Victor Hovland going to become a major champion? I'd definitely say yes. I think he's got the tools.
You feel like the mindset's there as well with Victor. Very calm and composed, isn't he? Scheffler was there or thereabouts once again. Aside from him, any other notable performances that impressed you?
Minwoo Lee did okay again, didn't they? Can't get through a major without mentioning Minwoo Lee. But Scotty Scheffler, I mean, he's back in action this week. We'll discuss him very soon. Very strange scheduling decision, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Should we move on to look at this week's tournaments? We've got four to preview.
Exactly. I think we must. We've got a lot to get through.
Let's do that then. Let's start with the Charles Schwab Challenge on the PGA Tour. A star-studded list. Scotty Scheffler is your favourite, 9-2. Jordan Spieth, 12-1. Tony Finau, 14s. Hovland, 14s. Colin Morikawa, 16-1. Sung Jae-im, 20-1. Bigger the rest. This one at Colonial Country Club. Steve, really looking forward to this. Talk us through what we can expect, first of all, with the course layout.
Yes, Colonial Country Club, Fort Worth, Texas, 7,209 yards. An old par 70, only two par fives. It's held a PGA Tour event since the old King died. You know, one of the most ancient tracks on the circuit. It's actually getting an upgrade before next year's tournament. We must watch out for that. It's always been a test of accuracy over power. And we have a small fielder, only 120 runners going to post. Sunny and warm conditions, light to moderate breezes.
Yeah, you said, mentioning sort of Scotty, it's strange scheduling. There are a lot of players going this week that, you know, were playing last week as well. Who kind of stands out for you at the moment?
It's a surprisingly good, isn't it? But the best bet for me is Colin Morikawa, 18-1. 18-1 available about Colin Morikawa. He is desperate to get back to winning ways. He's not won a PGA Tour title since the 2021 Open Championship. You know, for an elite player, this drought is becoming a real irritant. Mm. And at this stage of the season, you know, we are bang in the middle of the majors, you know, two down, two to go. We've had eight elevated designated events. You know, there's going to be mental fatigue coming into to these players now. And I think desire is important this week. This is a standard event. This is a standard PGA Tour event. It's not elevated. I think some players might not be fully invested in it. I think Colin Morikawa will be. And he knows this is an ideal place for him. You know, he can showcase his accuracy at Colonial Country Club. He nearly won on his debut. Nobody wins on their debut at Colonial, Jack. He very nearly did in 2020. He lost a playoff. You probably remember that one. It was the comeback event after coronavirus, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right.
So he was pipped in a playoff in his Colonial debut, which said it all about his suitability to this course. 14th and 40th in subsequent visits, but this time I'm expecting a real title challenge. He was second at Kapalua in January, third at Torrey Pines, sixth at Riviera, 13th at Sawgrass, 10th at Augusta, 26th last week. It's been a really solid campaign. It's going to become a winning campaign on Sunday.
You're right with Colin. You kind of expected him to just go on and win for fun. I mean, I was watching him on the range last week. I mean, he just strikes it so beautifully. These buttery kind of fades. He was just working with ease. What is it that's maybe just left him a little short this season?
Well, obviously the putter. I mean, the first tournament, it looked so encouraging. He changed his putting stroke. He was working with a new putting coach, and it looked like he was going to win at Kapalua. Do you remember that one? He got pit by John Rahm, and he hasn't got going again on and around the greens. But his ball striking numbers this year have been really impressive, and obviously that's the strength of his game. Yeah, he won two major titles while you were still in short trousers, Jack, and we're all expecting more. I think we will get more. He just needs to get back to winning, and he'll definitely be fully invested in this one.
Okay, Colin Morikawa, the number one selection. My sincerest apologies, Steve. I forgot to ask you, how many are you going with in the Charles Schwab?
I'm really glad you didn't ask, actually, because it is four, and I've got so many injuries at the moment. I haven't got the spunk to shout it with much gusto, but there'll be other chances in this broadcast.
Well, absolutely. I was thinking this episode is a marathon more than a sprint, so that there's opportunity yes. going forwards. Okay, yes. Colin Morikawa, 18-1, top selection for Steve and the Charles Schwab. Who's second up?
Next best, ready for the abuse. Send the abuse my way. I can handle it. I've been doing this show a long time. Ricky Fowler. 28-1. 28-1 Ricky Fowler. I know I've been putting him up a lot this year, but the win is definitely coming. He's had about a million top 20 finishes this year. I mean, if you've been backing him for top 20 finishes, yeah, there's plenty of shrewdies that play the less ambitious markets. And yeah, you're loving life if you've been playing Fowler top 20s. The last time he played in Texas, he finished 10th in the Texas Open. Every department of his game is in order now. And last week, so unlucky. I don't know how much you watched of Ricky last week. So he hit so many good putts that didn't go in. I've never seen so many lip outs over 36 holes. The result of those 36 holes was missing the cut by a shot. I want to turn that negative into a positive. You know, it means he's fresh for Colonial, and it means we get a bigger price than we would otherwise have done. Fowler was fifth at Colonial in 2012. I think this could be the moment. Now, I've been given this build up for months, but this could be the moment that Fowler gets back in the winner's enclosure.
I will ask the question that I'm sure we will see in the comments, Steve, and that is, what do you see in Ricky? I mean, we know, you know, his history. He's a top draw player. But in terms of recently, why are you staying with him?
I see him solid in all departments. There's no obvious weakness now. Yeah, Butch Harmon has moulded. Yeah, Butch Harmon sort of frees these players up, and he's swinging with more freedom now. But there is no obvious weakness in his game at the moment. Yeah, last week the irons were a bit loose, and he was really unlucky on the greens. But his driving was fantastic. I just think Fowler is. I know I get loads of abuse for putting up Fowler regularly, but 28-1, we can make up for all the recent defeats.
Okay, so Ricky Fowler joins Colin Morikawa. Add a third to the list.
Probably get some abuse for this one as well, actually, because again, very loyal to this lad, but it's Christian Bezuidenhout.
Oh, okay, I'll allow that.
Oh, thank you. No abuse coming from the host. I think the other host might well have been there. 80-1. I think Christian Bezuidenhout, a three-time DP World Tour champion, is good enough to win on the PGA Tour. And Colonial sets up perfectly for players like him. You know, you've got to be accurate. You've got to chip well. You've got to putt well. That is Bezuidenhout's game to a tee. Last year, he finished 15th at Colonial. Since then, runner-up in the John Deere Classic, went very close to winning that. And then this year, 13th in the Players' Championship, 19th in the Heritage, a designated elevated event. That was last month. He was 23rd in the Byron Nelson on his last trip to Texas. And like Fowler, we're getting a good price off a missed cut by a shot. He missed the cut off a pair of 73s in the USPGA. Shunted, dismissed at 80-1. I think that's a great each way bet.
Yeah, it seems a big price for Bezuidenhout. So that's the third on the list. Who's the fourth?
The fourth has just been cut from 175-1 to 140-1. Still plenty of juice in 140-1 here. General 125s. It's Matthew Naismith. Another accurate sort, one of the best iron players in the business when he's in the groove. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2019. I'm surprised he's not off the mark on the PGA Tour yet. Came very close last year. He was second in the Shriners Open. And in the Valspar Championship, he was beaten by just a shot. Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns were the only players to better him there. And his last five tournaments really encourage him. Such solid performances, including fourth place in the Zurich Classic Pairs event alongside Taylor Moore. Last week, 23rd in the USPGA, another solid effort, and that was good enough to move him back into the world's top 100. So, Naismith's on the up again, lively outsider.
Yeah, big price there. So you're very clear of Scheffler, Spieth for now, Hovland, a couple of those went really well last week. You were with Tony last week. What's putting you off at those prices this time around?
Gosh, such a flat performance, wasn't it? You know, when he rallied in the first round. I mean, he was six over par early on, and then he rallied to two over par. I expected big things on the Friday. It didn't happen. I don't know. I think Finau would be really disappointed in himself last week. He underperformed. Scheffler's just too short at 9-2. So noble of him. But he's such a good egg, isn't he, Scheffler?
Yeah.
To play Byron Nelson, USPGA, Colonial, you know, he really does commit to, you know, his adopted home state. He moved to Texas when he was 6 years old. You know, he tries his best to tee up in Texas all the time, but he's world number one now. I think a week off would have done him good. Jordan Spieth, I mean, beware the injured golfer.
Wild, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, beware the injured golfer. I mean, lots of people like to use that in terms of encouraging you to back injured golfers. I say beware the injured golfer, don't back them, because, you know, injured golfers tend not to do very well, and you only find out about it when, on the rare occasions when they do well. I mean, his wrist was all taped up, his left wrist all taped up last week. Yeah, like Scheffler, huge brownie points from the Texan community for Spieth turning up for this, but he should be resting that wrist for future majors, in my humble opinion.
Talking about injured golfers, Steve, have you seen our favourite man is on the sidelines at the moment?
Our favourite man is on the sidelines.
Sam Horsfield. Similar characters.
Sam Horsfield. Yeah. Sam,
that was a shame.
Yeah. I did notice he was a late withdrawal for one of the live events. Yeah. It's a worry, isn't it?
He's undergone surgery after that lovely run in the Orlando. But anyway, we're talking about live too soon. We'll get onto that shortly. But there we go. Okay, should we move on to the Dutch Open then?
Very wise.
Well, from one of our favourite men to another, Dutch Open then. Let's take a look at the market. Victor Perez and our lovely Adrian Maronk head the market at 12 to run. Rasmus Højgaard, 22s. Alexander Bjork, 22 to 1. Jordan Spieth, also 22 to 1. Antoine Rosner, 28, bigger the rest. The top of this market is, you know, archetypal DP World Tour, isn't it? It's as we've come to expect. But some solid players at the top there. Steve, where is the Dutch Open? What can we expect? Are you looking forward to it?
We are at Benardus Golf, Cromvoort, Netherlands. 7,445 yards, par 72, four par fives. A Heathland track designed by Carl Phillips. Carl Phillips, of course, Kings Barnes is his most famous creation. Yas Links is another one of his. But Benardus has hosted two KLM Opens. Generous fairways, light rough, pretty easy peasy for an attacking powerhouse to overwhelm. We've got 156 going to post, and I am looking forward to it.
Good. And that's promising. And how many tips have you got?
Oh, gosh.
Go on.
Please don't make me do that again. I've just got a massive side strain. I won't go into why, because we're very busy, but I've got side strains. I've got,
have you?
Yeah, that
you haven't, you haven't been trimming any more bushes, have you?
I've trimmed a lot of bushes.
Have you?
I never stopped trimming bushes. And yeah, just to give you a little flavour of my pain, when I sneeze, it hurts my buttocks. I mean, how bad can a body get when a mere sneeze can cause huge buttock pain?
Do you suffer with hay fever as well?
I do.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to hire like a gardener or something if it's causing this much distress.
A gardener or a full-time masseuse. I need something. But don't let me drag you down, Jack.
Maybe the gardener can also do the massage as well. Right, for selection, who's the main one?
It is Alex Fitzpatrick, an 80-1. Very excited about this, an 80-1 chance. I think the younger Fitzpatrick brother is ready to make his mark. There's always been talk on the golfing circuit that Alex is as good as Matt. He's 4 years younger than Matt Fitzpatrick. He's 24, is Alex. Time's on his side. The signs are positive. I mean, in his amateur days, you have to respect Alex. In his amateur days, he got to fourth place in the world amateur rankings. He's clearly had huge potential from early doors. And getting into tournaments has been the problem he's had. You know, last year on the DP World Tour, he got a few starts, did really well under pressure in the circumstances. He was 27th in the Italian Open, 13th in the French Open, 28th in the Dunhill Links, 37th in the Andalusia Masters, 15th in the Portugal Masters. So quickly looked good enough to win on the DP World Tour for me. This year he's been globetrotting, you know, trying to get a start here and there. DP World Tour, Challenge Tour, a Korn Ferry Tour event. He finished 19th alongside his brother in the Zurich Classic on the PGA Tour in that pairs event. He just needs to get a break somewhere. I think it could come this week. I love the fact, you'll love this, I'm sure, he was playing in a Challenge Tour event in the Netherlands last week. It's just a lovely warm-up spin. Yeah, lovely warm-up spin, hour and a half up the road. He finished third in that, two shots behind the winner. So he's had an hour and a half drive down to Benardus, plenty of time to get used to a track, get used to the track, and Yeah, I think this is an exciting bet. Fitzpatrick at 80.
I wasn't expecting. I've just sort of scrolled down to those prices in the market and sees next to a certain Ross Fisher, who I see qualified for the US Open at Walton Heath, didn't he? That was nice to see him back again. I always liked watching Ross Fisher play.
Yeah, two players at opposite ends of their career there. Yeah. Ross Fisher probably just tailing off a little bit. Alex Fitzpatrick really on the up, and I'm prepared to take the chance that he can make a break for this week.
Oh, I'm excited about that as well, Steve. Alex Fitzpatrick, the main selection for the Dutch Open. Who's next?
It is Romain Langasque. A lot of sweet spot regulars on show this week. He almost upset us in the Italian
Open. Gave us a scare, didn't he? Yeah.
Big scare. I mean, we're on the little Moronki. Langasque finished a plucky runner-up there. Didn't do a lot wrong. There's still time for Langasque to realise that great potential he showed as an amateur. I've always fancied him to become a star. He's just turned 28. He was amateur champion in 2015. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2018. He won the Wales Open in 2020. Yes, he's a gifted ball striker. This track is ideal for him. His form figures on this course are 22-31. But you must note that the 22nd place came after he was in miserable form. He had missing cuts. And then he was 22nd at the Bernarda. So this time he's in fine fettle. Yeah, expecting a big run from Romain.
I haven't spoken to you on camera, Steve, since Moronk's win. I think that's one of my favourite wins for a long while. It was a sunny day, wasn't it? I was sat outside with a cold lark, just watching this beautiful, lanky Polish man just scrambling.
Yeah,
and it brought me such joy.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I think that's probably the best day of the year. Because as we were discussing last week about the USPGA selections, if you're on someone that you really like anyway, I mean, it's impossible not to like Adrian Moronk, isn't it?
Absolutely. You
know, such a pleasant character. Battle, you know, the greatest pole in history. You're right. Hopefully we get more days like that. It seemed a long time ago now.
Hopefully one of these four can do so. Who's next up on the list?
It is Niklas Norgaard at 50 to 1, who used to be called Niklas Norgaard Muller. We had him a few times. Has he changed his name? He's ditched the Muller from his name. You know, he clearly didn't like being named after rice puddings. So he's just Niklas Norgaard now. But yeah, the talent remains the same. An explosive player, one of the longest drivers on the circuit. Birdie machine, went in the groove. I think he's going to challenge for a DP World Tour breakthrough on Sunday. He's 30 years of age. Four solid rounds for 31st place on his Bernarda's debut last year. And he was 7th in the Dunhill Links last year. That's a good bit of form. That he shot 63 at King's Barnes, the Carl Phillips design, and he's been solid this year. 23rd in the Italian Open last time out. So yeah, Niklas Norgaard, big danger man.
Some big prices in the Palmer portfolio for the Dutch Open. Are we adding one more at a similar price?
Bigger. Yeah, the biggest one of all, Brandon Stone. Brandon Stone is 100 to 1. You might be surprised he's a big price.
Yeah.
This is a class act. You know, he, like Fitzpatrick. He played in that Challenge Tour event in the Netherlands last week, and he seriously contended. He finished 2nd in that, beaten by just a shot. He's getting his act together again. He's an underachiever. He turned 30 last month. Results suggest that he's knuckling down again. He started the year with 3 top 10s in his homeland. His Challenge Tour efforts recently have been really bright. He's 3-time DP World Tour champion this. I think he's got all the tools to bash up the Bernardas.
I think that's the most cutting thing you can say about a man, isn't it? An underachiever. That's not nice, is it? You don't want to be an underachiever.
Well, I'm actually showing him great respect there. You know, he's won 3 DP World Tour titles, but I think he's so good that he's an underachiever. Yeah. You're right. It's the sort of thing you'd... you don't want to disappoint your dad, do you? Try hard. If you try hard and you rubbish everything, there's people who can't give you stick, but... If you don't try hard and you're not achieving results, you deserve a little slap around the chops, don't you?
I'm sure he's watching. So well saved, Steve, there. Right. Should we move on to Liv?
I think we should. Yeah. Number 3 is the Liv.
OK, now I'll let you, sort all of your paperwork out there while I read through the prices. Liv Golf, DC, Cameron Smith and Brooks Koepka head the market 8-1. Dustin Johnson, 11s. Joachim Niemann, 16s. Patrick Reed, Taylor Gooch, the same price. Mito Pereira, 18s, alongside Charles Howell, the third. Bigger the rest. I remember when we were doing Sweet Spot last year, Steve, and I was like, make me excited for Liv, make me excited for Liv. And actually, I've got a bit of time for Liv Golf now. I've enjoyed a few of the events. Feel like it's starting to mature somewhat. Some of the players going well. Excited for this week.
I'm glad. I mean, you've actually been to a LIV event, haven't you? So, you know, you've seen what it's like. I
desperately wanted to hate it, but I really enjoyed it. It was almost like sort of a Bali beach bar in terms of the fairways aligned with this kind of chilled out, you know, music. You were watching players go around in their shorts. There was a competitive spirit to things, but equally quite relaxing. It was cheap to get in. The beer was cheap. Happy days.
And you were bantering with Sean Foley all day, weren't you? Is that
Foley. Well, it was, of course, the week where we were on Sam Horsfield. And look, that was one of the toughest bets to take because he missed out by a place. But Sean Foley was in good spirits, lives nearby. Didn't learn much off him. Don't think he can save my golf swing. But good time was had.
And LIV Golf is taking off, as you say. I mean, the viewing figures have been abysmal for it. But, you know, surely this week there'll be a huge amount of interest. You know, Brooks Koepka's teeing up in this. And obviously you got your Bryson DeChambeau's coming back to form that we'll get to. But, this one is actually called LIV Golf DC. I was very excited. I thought I was going to head up to Doncaster. I thought there might be one in Doncaster that I could go and watch. But this is LIV Golf Washington DC. They're just giving it a snappy title of LIV Golf DC.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue nicely, that one. Where are we playing this week, Steve?
We are at Trump National Golf Club, Washington, Potomac Falls, Virginia. 7,479 yards, par 72, four par fives. Built as a link style track and remodeled recently by Tommy Fazio. Tom Fazio's nephew is called Tommy Fazio.
Wow.
He's been in charge of remodeling this track. And it came out to play for the 2017 Senior PGA Championship. So watch the 2017 Senior PGA Championship clues. Bernard Langer won that with an 18 under par. So I think this looks a pretty easy track. The livers are all off at 6:15 p.m. our time on Friday.
Okay. If you've got four selections, I won't make you scream four once more. Less than that?
Two.
Okay. Start with your headline selection, Steve.
Bryson DeChambeau.
I did wonder.
Oh, 22-1. Surprised he's that big after how impressive he was last week. Yeah, he's clearly getting back to something like his best. A lot's gone on in the life of Bryson. He had wrist surgery. Then at the end of last season, he did lots of tests on his health. He ended up drastically changing his diet. I mean, you can see how much smaller.
Oh, it's remarkable. He's so slim now.
Yeah. He was worried about all the bulk was affecting his sort of longevity. So, he's changed his diet. He sorted out his gut inflammation. I mean, I could be on here for 10 minutes.
I need to sort out my gut inflammation.
Yeah, me too. But I could be on here for ages talking about all the stuff he's done. But the key points are that he found a cyst in his left sinus, which was stopping him breathing properly. He put all most of his poor performance down to the fact he wasn't breathing properly. I mean,
oh my goodness.
Breathing is a pretty important part for a human, isn't it? Yeah, there's not many things more important for a human than breathing. He wasn't breathing properly. He wasn't getting enough oxygen to his brain, and he wasn't performing as he'd like in all walks of life. So, he had an operation just before Christmas on that cyst. Now he says he feels $1 million. He's breathing better. And slowly but surely, his game's come back. He was seventh at LIV Tulsa before the USPGA. And then he was fourth last week. You know, he was brilliant last week in spells. And Trump National looks perfect for him. You know, it's long, open. And I think, a bit like with Morikawa, I think DeChambeau is one of the more focused runners this week. You know, the people ahead of him in the betting, I just think, Cook is surely going to be away with the fairies. And DeChambeau's never won on the LIV Top Tour. So, he's desperate to get off the mark. And you forget how good he is, don't you? Well, eight-time PGA Tour champion, 2020 US Open winner. So, I think the time is now. Yeah, he's probably the best bet of the week in any tournament.
It does seem as well, Steve, that he's sort of mellowed out somewhat and matured a little bit. And I think, you know, he broke onto the scene. It's not like Michael Richards, but, you know, he was saying some outrageous things. You just felt to kind of make his name out there. And I think you're right. Yeah. He needs to knuckle down now. And hopefully, you know, now he's sorted his health out, that can happen. So, really excited about that. Well, Bryson DeChambeau, 22-1 for LIV Golf DC. Who's the next one?
I think you're absolutely right. The weight's come off, the ego's come off a little bit. Yeah, he lost it. His dad died, and he really affected. Oh, okay. You know, he is a different. He's a little bit more likable now, that's for sure. I think he's perhaps the best golf bet of the week. But I want some backup, and the next best is Brandon Grace, 40-1.
Another Brandon. Yeah.
Another brand, Brandon Grace, Trump National Washington, as I say, builds this linksy course, you know, inland links. That puts Brandon Grace on my radar. He's an excellent performer on links terrain. Carded the lowest round in major championship history with a 62 in the 2017 Open. He's won DP World Tour titles on links courses, but he'd fancy his chances on any type of course at the moment. He's playing really well. He made a playoff for LIV Golf Tulsa the week before the USPGA. Dustin Johnson won that playoff with a birdie. And Grace is already off the mark. He won LIV Golf Portland last year. You might remember that one. So, yeah, Grace, only 35 years of age, still a proper player. I was surprised we could get 40-1.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you doing any sort of team betting this week, or just approaching the players individually?
Yeah, I haven't played on the team betting yet. I find the scoring for that's a little bit quirky, and because not every score counts. It's not something I'm keen to be drawn into. I mean, if you look at the market leaders this week, you know, Cook was 7-1. Cameron Smith 8-1. I don't see any value there. I think 22-1 Bryson is much superior. I mean, Koepka, you know, he said he's going to the Panthers game. I was going to ask you, I've no idea what the Panthers game is, but he's going to the Panthers game today. He said he's going to really let his hair down.
I don't know whether it was the Panthers game, but I have seen videos of him, and let's just say I think he might have a sore head.
I've seen videos of yeah. He said he was going to let his hair down. I've no idea who the Panthers are, but you know, it sounds a dangerous pursuit, hanging around with Panthers. I can't have Brooks Koepka at 7-1, given he's just not going to have that level of intensity. Yeah, he's major Brooks again, isn't he?
Cam Smith's been solid though, to be fair to him, last month or so.
He's more tempting because he's probably got more desire. Yeah, he's creeping back into form after a poor smell. He admitted that he put the clubs away for too long in the close season. He's actually hailed his hands up and say he's become a bit lazy.
Who would have thought it, becoming lazy on LIV, getting paid sort of regardless of finish? It's unbelievable.
It's true. So yeah, all about the Bryson.
Good stuff. All aboard the DeChambeau train this week in LIV Golf DC. And got another major to preview. It's the seniors. It's the beautifully named KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. Let's take a look at the market. Steve Stricker, your favourite, 4-1. Padre Harrington coming off a decent week for us at 6-1. Stuart Sink, 17-2. Stephen Alker, 10s. The smooth swinging Ernie Els, 14, alongside Miguel Angel Jimenez at 14s. Bigger the rest. Always like the senior majors, Steve. I'm thinking of going to the Open to Royal Porthcawl this year, isn't it? I think enjoy them. They're nice smooth swings and nice atmosphere around the place.
You'll have a lovely time if you go to that. Yeah, I mean, if you've got time, you should head over to Phil's Ranch East in PGA Frisco in Texas. That's where we are this week, playing to around 7,100 yards, par 72. It's a Jill Hance designed layout. It's flat, it's open, it's linksy. It's very, very easy, this course, in calm conditions. And the weather forecast this week, sunny and hot skies, light to moderate breezes. So I think we're going to get loads of birdies, 156 runners going to post.
Excited for it. How many selections for this?
We got three juicy prices.
Now, if going into this episode of The Sweet Spot, if I was to guess one of your bets this week, my most certain would come in this. So let's see who the headline selection is.
It's Alexander Chaker at 33-1. Yes, yeah, a fighting fit 52-year-old. I mentioned that the weather is going to be very hot this week. I think, yeah, stamina is going to be an issue for these old guys. Chaker has already won this title before. In just his second start in a senior major, he won the 2021 Senior PGA. He was fourth in the proper USPGA in 2003. Always been a quality ball striker. He was ninth in the Regent's Tradition last time out. So, yeah, I was surprised we get 33-1. That seems a very solid each-way bet to me.
At what age, in your mind, do people become old? Because you've just described him as an old 52-year-old there. And I suspect some of you may be deeply offended by that.
Did I describe him as that? Yeah, I mean, I consider myself old. So, yeah. 44 definitely is old.
OK, 30-1 main selection. Who's next?
It is Robert Carlson at 50-1, a 53-year-old, you know, fitness freak. You know, Robert Carlson is miles fitter than me. You know, he's a decade older than me. You know, it goes without saying, really. But I mean, he's the longest driver on the Champions Tour. And like Chaker, he's also finished fourth in the real USPGA, yeah, the standard one. That was in 2011. And he's already shown he's a threat in the senior majors. He was second in the Regents Tradition last time out. Yeah, I think he's a massive price for this. You know, he obviously didn't do much in the majors in his standard career. I don't really know how to describe the younger career there. Yeah, but since he's become a Champions Tour man, he's a big player because he keeps himself fitter than the others. There's a massive contrast on the round belly circuit between players that really look after themselves and others that are just having lots of fun.
Well, yeah. Can you do both? That's the question. I'm sure some manage it. Third and final selection for this tournament.
110-1.
My goodness.
Rodney Pampling. Rod Pampling to his friends who lives in Texas. This course is a 40-minute drive from Rodney Pampling's home. I expect he's got lots of practice in under his belt at this track, which is a new track which nobody really knows. He's a three-time PGA Tour champion. He's no mug. He was fifth in the 2005 Masters. And his record in senior majors is solid. You know, he's played in 10 of them. His worst finish is 40th. He's had 8 top 20s, 4 top 10s. Just think he's being massively underrated in the market as an unfashionable Aussie.
Now, I was absolutely convinced, Steve, that one of your picks would be Mr. Harrington. What's putting you off the market leaders this week?
I think he might be a bit knackered, you know. I mean, because he had the Regents Tradition before the USPGA. He contended in the Regents Tradition, then 4 rounds at the USPGA on a tough, you know, difficult course at Oak Hill. I just thought 7-1, you know, with that doubt in my mind, I can't play. I prefer the bigger prices about my 3.
Okay, good stuff. That's the Senior PGA Championship ticked off. Do you want free golf bets? Head over to racingpost.com/freebets now to claim all of the best offers from your favourite bookmakers. Lots of tips there, Steve. Would you like to take a minute to guide us through them all once more so people can jot them down?
Yes. We've got a 4-4-2-3 formation this week. See if we can sneak that past the referee. Are you going to say the name of the tournament and I'll say the players?
I'll go on, man. Let's start with the Charles Schwab Challenge.
Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, Christian Bezuidenhout and Matthew Naismith.
On to the Dutch Open.
Alex Fitzpatrick, Romain Langasque, Nicholas Norgaard, Brandon Stone.
Live Golf, DC.
Bryson DeChambeau. I love saying that name. DeChambeau. Brandon Grace.
I was half thinking you'd forgotten about our other Brandon there. and the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. So I've got to say the sponsor there because it's so good.
Yeah. What is that? What is a KitchenAid? Is it worth to look
at? I think it's one of those mixers, isn't it? They're very expensive as well. I think probably you only need to, they need to have sold about 2 to afford to ship this. They're pricey, yeah.
All right, I'll look into that. Alexander Chaker, Robert Carlson, Rodney Pampling.
Great stuff. 4 tournaments previewed. Hopefully Bruce will be back next week to look back on some winners with you, Steve. What have you got to look forward to this week? The sun is shining here in Norfolk. I hope it's the same with you.
Slightly overcast. I just want to avoid gardening, to be honest with you, Joe. That's all I'm trying to avoid. Get myself fit. Avoid the gardening. You know, I've got a very, very brittle body. You know, it goes to show how unfit I am that a bit of gardening can disable me. And that is exactly what has happened. So, I'm just going to stay out. Yeah, I've got artificial grass. This is the point I'd like to make.
It's the time of the year where you cut the lawn and within 2 days it's about to be cut again. So what are you finding injury from then?
I bought artificial grass a few years ago because I was so frustrated with what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've still got bushes, shrubbery, decorative mulch. Love saying that. You can get injured just putting out your decorative mulch. Gardening's dangerous. Be careful, guys. There's so much danger out there. I don't really know. Pretty much everything is dangerous these days, isn't it?
Is there a world where you could maybe put some artificial shrubbery in?
We'll look into that. Yeah. Good idea.
Maybe just make everything fake.
Get artificial everything, yeah. They're talking about artificial intelligence the other day, weren't they? It's going to take over the world now, isn't it?
I did read something that I haven't heard of it before. There's an initiative called No Mow May, where people are encouraged to leave their grass growing to kind of help wildlife. And I just think that's just a cop-out for not cutting your grass, isn't it? People go, I'm doing No Mow May. And it's like, no, you've just left your garden get all messy. You're not helping the poor ladybirds.
I did see that sign at my daughter's school the other day, actually. Yes. The janitor at that school obviously fancies a quiet summer, but yeah. We've got to look after our insects, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, pleasure as always. Thanks to everyone at home for their continued support with the Sweet Spot. Please do leave your comments in the YouTube comments. We'll be reading through all of those. And a big reminder, please only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Bruce will be back with Steve next week to preview the Memorial and also the European Open. Great to see you all. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.